May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today's scripture passages are kind of heavy, aren't they? They deal with some pretty heavy subject matter. In fact, all three readings are pretty much all about death. And even though death is a reality we all know pretty intimately, it can still be sometimes hard to talk about, right? Perhaps some of you were feeling a little bit emotionally triggered by some of the content. I know I personally have a hard time hearing some of these words. Now, in the children's sermon, I referenced that goofy little song, you know, leg bones connected to the whatever bone, right? That's actually an adaptation from an old African-American spiritual called Dem Bones. Many of you probably know the original version of it. But it's an old spiritual that was written by a people that really, really knew what Ezekiel was talking about when he beheld the Valley of Dry Bones. A people who knew that experience in ways which, at least I hope, we never could or will come to know. For Ezekiel's writing in a time when, you know the story, right? The nation of Babylon comes in and lays waste to their nation, wipes it off the face of the earth, destroys their holy city, takes their whole literate class and ships them off to Babylon for reprogramming. When you take the literate class away, then the history doesn't get transmitted and a people's identity is gone. Much the way probably many of the slaves coming over here felt, robbed of an identity, robbed of a home, brought into captivity. So we don't quite know what that's like, but we know something of what it's like to feel that our bones are dry, that all hope is lost, that we are surrounded by an absence of life. Perhaps you feel it in your bodies with an illness or with chronic pain when you feel your own mortality. That's a dry bones experience. Perhaps it's anxiety over financial hardship that is preventing you from living the life that God wants you to live. Perhaps it's you're working and working and working and the bills just keep coming and you're trying to keep up with the rat race of life and it just robs life of its verdancy and its vitality. What are your dry bones? Think about it for a moment. I'm pretty sure we all have them. Perhaps it's grief for the loss of a loved one. Perhaps it's actual bones in the ground somewhere that is causing you to despair. We all have them, right? We all have our dry bones. And what about in the larger community? What about here on Long Island? What about in our country? Where are the dry bones? Now, I'll tell you, this past Friday, I went to a seminar on the relationship between early childhood trauma and addiction. It's part of my education for LICAN, the Long Island Congregations and Associations Network, the community organizing network that myself and Pastor Eric are part of. And our major task force right now is to respond to this egregious and seemingly insurmountable epidemic of heroin and opiate addiction in this country. And what I discovered there was pretty disturbing and pretty eye-opening, that the CDC did a study on adverse childhood experiences and found that people who had two or three or five or more adverse childhood experiences had a higher risk of depression, addiction, disease, and early death. Let that sink in for a second. The higher your score was on the adverse childhood experiences scale was. Adverse childhood experiences include divorcing parents, sometimes abuse, either physical, sexual, or neglect, the death in the family, things that might be somebody's fault, things that might be nobody's fault, but things which happen. that there was a direct correlation and an exponential increase in likelihood of addiction and depression in people who had multiple experiences like this. What separates an addict from the rest of us? Probably trauma. Now, sometimes it's genetics and sometimes it's somebody just makes a bad choice. But the majority of these people suffering under addiction and overdose deaths and the families affected by them, this is not because somebody made a bad decision. It's because some of us didn't get lucky. Some of us weren't blessed with a childhood that allowed us to flourish. You see, when you have these adverse childhood experiences, the child stays in a constant state of heightened stress and survival mode, and this affects the way neurobiologically a child develops, so that the things we have, coping skills, impulse control, the ability to connect into a larger social environment, they don't have. And those three things are what separates an addict from a non-addict: the ability to cope, the ability to control impulses, and the ability to be woven into the larger social fabric. But here on Long Island, I'm sure you're getting tired of hearing about it by now, between myself and Pastor Eric and the news, we are surrounded by this problem. These dry bones are everywhere. Literally, the dry bones of our lost children in our graves, the dry bones in the souls of the family members and friends. And if you think that this congregation hasn't been affected by that, you're wrong. I'm very sorry to say that. This has touched me in a personal way. I've lost people. And I'm grateful to say I have family members who are survivors as well. But the question I want to ask you is, can these dry bones yet live? Does it have to be this way? I'm sure a lot of us look at this problem and feel just like Ezekiel did, that our bones are dry, there is no hope, we are totally cut off from God. And when God asks Ezekiel, can these dry bones yet live, Ezekiel says, "You know, Lord." I think we often read that like it's humility. It's, "I don't know, but you know all things, Lord." I really think it was, "You know the answer, Lord." The answer is no. These bones are dead. They don't get back up. Which makes what the Lord then says even more powerful. He says, "Prophesy. You prophesy to these bones. You tell them that the Lord tells you to get up." Can it be true for us? Can it be true here on Long Island? Can it be true here in the United States? That things don't have to be the way they are, that these dry bones can yet live? Well, I'll tell you, if it's possible, it can't be done without us, without this congregation, without each and every one of you. You need to prophesy to the hope. We all do. And we all need to trust God. We need to trust that God is able to bring life even to these bones. And for you yourselves, I know, I don't mean to take away from whatever it is you're struggling with, because wherever your bones are feeling dry, this word is for you too. Even your dry bones can be restored by the word and the breath and the Spirit of God. Now, LICAN is hosting an event coming up soon, inviting you to be, quote, in the room where it happens. In the room where several faith leaders of this community, several community leaders, people of all faiths are going to come together and make a covenant with each other that we're not going to sit by and do nothing. We're not going to sit by in hopelessness. But we're going to prophesy on that day. April 26th. It's in your bulletins. Mark it on your calendar. I want you all to be there, if you can be. If you need a way to get there, let me or Pastor know. But together we're going to prophesy to these dry bones. Together we're going to say these dry bones may yet live. Now I think of our gospel lesson today, and I think of Jesus, and I think of the way he wept for Lazarus. When I first read that story years and years ago, I got to that line, and it was famously the shortest Bible verse in the whole Bible, right? Famously. And when I got to it, I thought to myself, Jesus, what are you crying for? You know you are about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Just a few minutes from now, it's going to happen, so what are you getting all bent out of shape for? There's a divine mystery to contemplate for the rest of your lives. The tears of our God for our brokenness. You see, before God does anything to intervene, He sits down with those of us who mourn and cries with us. He cries because He looks at the sad state of our world full of death and disease and pain and says, "This is not how I would have it. This is not what I wanted for you." And that would be terribly depressing if it ended there, but the story continues. Not only with the resurrection of Lazarus, but with the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself on Easter that we are all eagerly awaiting. Jesus doesn't give us a way to avoid this pain, all the things that this life has to give to us. But He's there to be with us through it to weep, and He's going to get us to the other side of it and fill us with new life. And that new life, that resurrection life, is available to us now. I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus, but He died again one day. The raising from the dead, the physical miracle, wasn't the point. Jesus gave to Lazarus and to everybody who saw and believed a different kind of life. That day, before our eternal life happens, we have access to that life now. That life which gives us hope. That life which gives us strength and courage. That life which fills us with love and compassion for our neighbors and empowers us to weep with Jesus for every broken and lost child of God. So I want to leave this with you. I want to testify to you, I want to prophesy to you that your dry bones can live, and they will. And I hope that in the hearing of that good news, you want to join me in the prophecy to the rest of the world. It doesn't have to be this way. These dry bones can yet live. Amen.